We believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We declare to the world that the heavens are not closed. God continues to reveal his will to mankind, as he had in all periods of time when he's had authorized servants upon the earth. This fact should be familiar to all of our Father in Heaven's children, for the scriptures give us abundant evidence of this. Sometimes we define communication of God's will as revelation. Sometimes we refer to such communication as inspiration. Revelation, however, is a much broader term. While inspiration can properly be considered as revelation, revelation can also include visions, dreams, the spoken word, or other spiritual manifestations. Elder Talmage explained it this way: revelation signifies the making known of divine truths by communication from heaven. The word inspiration is sometimes invested in a significance almost identical with that of revelation, though by origin and early usage, it possesses a distinctive meaning. To inspire is literally to emanate with the Spirit. A man is inspired when under the influence and power of other than his own. Divine inspiration may be regarded as a lower or lesser directly intensive operation of spiritual influence upon man than is revelation. The difference, therefore, is rather one of degree rather than kind. There is order in the way the Lord reveals his will to mankind. We all have the right to petition the Lord and receive inspiration through his Spirit within the realm of our own stewardship. Parents can receive revelation for their own family, a bishop for his assigned congregation, on up to the First Presidency for the entire church. However, we cannot receive revelation for someone else's stewardship. The prophet Joseph Smith declared, "It is contrary to the economy of God for any member of the church or anyone to receive instructions for those in authority higher than themselves. Revelations of the mind and will of God to the church are to come through the First Presidency. This is the order of heaven and the power and privilege of this priesthood. It is also the privilege of any officer in the church to obtain revelations so far as it relates to his particular calling and duty in the church. The closer we keep our lives in harmony with the direction the Lord has given to us to guide our lives, the more we will be in attune with his Spirit. A person who petitions the Lord for guidance must be worthy to receive it. His life must be in harmony and in keeping with the standards the Lord has prescribed for his children. His life must be in good standing before God and his people. It must be in harmony with the teachings of the scriptures, the prophets, and the order of the church. A person could say that they had received a revelation to be dishonest in order to improve their financial situation. Or a person may say that he or she has been instructed that the church should go in a different direction than that which is being led by the prophet. We would immediately know that such a claim would not be from God. There's great strength and power in the fact that millions throughout the world share the same testimony of God, the Savior, and the calling of Joseph Smith. We have never been encouraged to be blindly obedient. It is intelligent obedience that characterizes members of the church. Brigham Young has been reported to have said the greatest fear that he had was that the members of the church would take what he had to say as the mind and will of God without first praying and obtaining a witness of the same for themselves. In establishing his kingdom on earth, the Lord set forth fundamental principles and laws to govern his children here. obedience to those laws and principles, yield the blessings that he has covenanted to bestow upon us. Violations are subject to his judgments. Reviewing man's histories reveals examples of obedience yielding blessings, and disobedience yielding sorrow and destruction. The course we are to follow is revealed through his holy prophets, who directs us to be obedient to the Lord's instructions. One example is the Lord's directions to the children of Israel as they journeyed in the wilderness. In order that they would have a centerpiece for their worship and activity, the Lord instructed Moses to build a tabernacle. The tabernacle was a forerunner of a temple, made portable so they could easily carry it with them. For the Lord said to Moses, "But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof, and they shall minister unto it, and shall encamp around about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard, throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch around the tabernacle of testimony, and there shall be no wrath among the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony." This tabernacle became the center of their camp as they journeyed to their promised land. Here, sacred services could be performed. The day the tabernacle was completed, a cloud covered it. The cloud was removed when they were to go forward in their journey. When the cloud covered the tabernacle, they were not to travel. The Lord directed them in their journey to camp at the foot of Mount Sinai. Here Moses was instructed to climb the mountain and communicate with the Lord. Here he received instructions on how the children of Israel would govern themselves in the wilderness. Moses was also given two tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Moses was away for the people for an extended period of time. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us a God, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." Aaron succumbed to the will of the people and told them to gather all their gold and silver and precious things and melt them into a form that made a golden calf, an idol they could worship and carry with them as they journeyed. In the meantime, Moses was receiving two tablets of testimony containing God's commandments to his people. With the tablets in hand, Moses descended from the mountain. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, Moses took the tabernacle out of their midst and pitched it without the camp. Now their centerpiece, their tabernacle, was away from them. They could no longer be guided and protected by its presence. Now only the faithful were allowed to come to the tabernacle. The one thing the Lord would not tolerate was the worship of other gods. Because of their many years of captivity in Egypt, it was challenging to the children of Israel. After a period of pleading for forgiveness from the Lord, Moses was instructed to hew two tablets of stone like unto the first, and ascend up to the mount. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights on top of Mount Sinai without bread or water. And the Lord instructed him, write thou these words. After the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he wrote upon the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Thus the Ten Commandments were given to mankind to follow and use throughout their lives. Obedience finally brought the law of the Lord to the children of Israel. Disobedience only delayed their progress of the children of Israel towards their land of promise. They had to be worthy to receive the law of the Lord. Note that the Lord delivered his word to Moses, his prophet. The Lord knows what will bless his children and to what end he delivers laws through his prophets to his people. If obeyed, the laws will lead us back to God. We do not determine for ourselves what these laws are. They are given from God to man. The Savior fulfilled the law of Moses, and similar divine instructions were revealed in our day through the prophet Joseph Smith, as contained in the 59th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. The Lord commanded, wherefore, I give unto them a commandment, saying thus, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, mind, and strength. And the name of Jesus Christ, thou shalt serve him. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not steal, neither commit adultery, nor kill, nor do anything like unto it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God as thyself. Thou shalt thank the Lord thy God in all things. Thou shalt offer up the sacrifices unto the Lord thy God in righteousness, even with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that thou mayest more fully keep thyself unspotted from the world. Thou shalt go to the house of prayer and offer up thy sacraments on my holy day. For verily, verily, this is a day appointed to you to rest from your labors, to pay your devotions unto the Most High. Nevertheless, thy vows shall be offered up in righteousness on all days and at all times. But remember that on this, the Lord's day, thou shalt offer up thine oblations and thy sacraments unto the Most High, confessing thy sins unto thy brethren and before the Lord. And on this day thou shalt do none other thing, only let thy food be prepared with a singleness of heart, that thy fasting may be perfect, or in other words, that thy joy may be full. Note that the channel of communication comes from the Lord to us. So many times in our history, in our own self-justification, we have attempted to reverse that channel and change God's laws. We find no record of this ever working. We do find out, however, that whenever God's children act contrary to his law, divine consistency and order is interrupted with disobedience and destruction. The Lord's systems work. Adherence to his laws and commandments will always bring about his promised blessings. Nephi was commanded by the Lord to obtain the brass plates and carry with them with their journey into the wilderness. Laban resisted every effort they had made to obtain the record. The Lord then delivered Laban into Nephi's hands. Concerning the slaying of Laban, Nephi was taught, it is better that one man should perish than a whole nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. This revelation helped Nephi recall sometimes something the Lord had previously promised him in the wilderness. Inasmuch as thy seed shall keep my commandments, they shall prosper in the land of promise. Then Nephi reasoned, yea, and I also thought that they could not keep the commandments of the Lord according to the law of Moses, save they should have the law. And I also knew that the law was engraven upon plates of brass. Repeatedly, the scriptures declare that the Lord gives his commandments to his children, through the children of men, through living prophets. No committee, assembly, or any other authority has the right to dictate to him doctrine that is contrary to his law. God's eternal blessings are contingent upon our obedience and adherence to the word of the law that is revealed through his holy prophets. God grant that we may always have the will and the courage to be obedient to him who is our eternal Father, and to his chosen Son, our Lord and Savior, that we may enjoy their blessings here and in the eternities to come. In the name of our Lord and Savior, even Jesus Christ, amen.